I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So very good to be in the house of the Lord once again to worship Him. I trust this morning when you left home, or this morning when you woke up, you were straight away looking forward to the time that you are going to be in the house of the Lord to worship Him. Today is the Lord's Day, the day that the Lord has made for us to rejoice in Him, for us to remember that we belong to Him and that He is our God. A day for us to remember that we have a living Savior dwelling in us. And a day for us to remember that the Lord has prepared an eternal Sabbath for us, so that one day after we pass away from this earth, we know for sure that we are going to be in His presence and we are going to enjoy that eternal rest forever and ever. Thank God for this hope that He has given to us. Now this morning, my topic is remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. I know several of us here have gone to the Holy Land. We toured the Holy Land. And I'm sure in our tour of the Holy Land, we would have been brought to this place that was by the coast of the sea, by the coast of the Dead Sea. In fact, the western shore of the Dead Sea. And as the coach moves along, invariably, I think we all know, we've been there, the tour guide will point out to us where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be. And then, but of course today you can't see Sodom and Gomorrah, because Sodom and Gomorrah would have been submerged under the sea, under the Dead Sea. Then as the coach moves along, then if you look around, you can't miss this sight. You will see lots of tall salt pillars. And then the coach half jokingly would say this: one of these was Lot's wife. Yes. Now, as you know, Lot and his wife and his children were pulled out of the perishing city of Sodom by two angels. And the command given to Lot's wife and to the family was that they should not turn back to look at the perishing city. But Lot's wife turned back, and she was indeed turned into a pillar of salt. Now, it is, of course, unlikely that one of those pillars would be Lot's wife, but the account of Lot's wife turning into a pillar of salt is an absolutely true account. This account was confirmed by none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who actually made use of the example of Lot's wife to warn us about the judgment that is to come when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. So if you look at Luke chapter 17, verse 32, we read these words, the passage that we read earlier on, Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Strong words, powerful words, you can't forget them. Remember Lot's wife. Remember the days of Lot's wife. Now, the days of Lot's wife would be the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord was referring to the days of, referring to those days as a sign of His imminent return. He goes into history to tell us about the future. And so you look at verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. You might say in the days of Mrs. Lot or in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now this will be what will be happening in the future when the Son of Man is going to come, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. This will be what we will be seeing, and we are seeing such things today. Now, what was it like during the days of Noah and the days of Lot? As we said, we could say the days of Mrs. Lot also. Yes, And turn to Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. All right? We just look at a few verses there. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Okay, Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Just look at the wickedness of the world at that time. Genesis 6, verses 5 and 6. Verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The wickedness of man was great. They were very, very much engrossed in the demands and the pleasures of life. So they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, and so forth. Right? And they were only interested in satisfying their physical and their sensual appetites. The truth is, God was not in their hearts. God had no place in their heart at all. And that's the truth. Then you look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted the way of the Lord upon the earth. His way is the way of the Lord upon the earth. So the earth was full of violence during the time of Noah. It was in a state of anarchy, in a state of terror. And the word of God so says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The wickedness, the anarchy, the terror was so great that God finally had to judge the earth by sending a global flood to destroy the earth. Now then, what about Sodom? My dear friends, Sodom was also extremely wicked, just as wicked. It was so wicked that God finally had to rain down fire and brimstone upon this wicked city. But before God destroyed this city, he sent two angels to warn Lot and his wife and his family about the impending destruction of the city of Sodom. At that time, they were dwellers in the city of Sodom. That night before the family lay down to sleep, the men of the city, both young and old, from every quarter of the city, came to the house of Lot with the intention of breaking down the door. For what purpose? Because Lot was hosting the two angels. And they wanted to have the two angels. In other words, they wanted to rape the two angels. Yes. Then these two angels, of course, struck them blind, as the word of God says. And that was how morally depraved the city of Sodom was. It was totally, totally morally depraved. Friends, those were the days of Lot. Those were the days of Mrs. Lot. But today, yes, do we not see the days of Noah and the days of Lot being present with us? People are simply engrossed with the present life. Yes, they are consumed by the temporal, consumed by to have the desire, consumed by the desire to satisfy their physical and their sensual appetites, as we said earlier on. Then look at the violence and the anarchy today. Yes. Every time you turn on the television, yes, what would be the theme of, or what would be the underlying features or the features of these shows that you see on TV? Mainly what? Sex and violence. Two things, sex and violence. You see them all the time. And then the video game, same thing, sex and violence. Now, all these things are supposed to be make-believe because you see them as shows. But the sad thing is today, all this make-believe stuff has become real. Because what do we see? We see young students carrying guns to school and to kill their teachers and their fellow students. That's what they do. See how violence on TV, which is supposed to be make-believe, has become reality. And then we see suicide bombings and we see terrorist attacks. They are no longer things that are incidental. They are actually becoming, they have become daily occurrences common occurrences. Every day you turn on the radio or you watch on TV, you see these kinds of violence. And what about gay rights? Gay rights are becoming more and more potent to the extent that gays today seem to have more right than people who are straight. Isn't it very true? You can't even say anything about gays today. Yes, and that is the kind of rights that they have. And today in many Western societies, the gays have even succeeded in putting pressure on the education authority and system to stop using the terms mom and dad. They cannot use the terms mom and dad. They say that if you make use of the terms mom and dad, you are being discriminatory. You are discriminating against gays. And so they say you must use only this term parents, not mom and dad, but parents. Surely the days of Sodom and Gomorrah are here again. Surely the Lord's return is near, even at the doors, even as the destruction of the Sodom and Gomorrah was preceded by the wickedness in the days of Lot, and this destruction of the world by the global flood was preceded by the wickedness during the days of Noah. So the Lord gives us this warning. Remember Lot's wife. Yes, remember Lot's wife. Now this is to remind us that if we are consumed by temporal things, consumed by the living for this life only, when God's judgment comes down upon this earth, we are not going to escape. That's what the message is. His judgment will fall on us if we are not believers and we are not repentant. We'll be heading for hell, where we will be punished, tormented, separated from the one true living God, tormented for all eternity. Now, what are we to remember concerning Lot's wife, which serves as a warning to us from the one true living God, or from the Lord? What are we to remember about her? First, let's remember the privileges that she had. Lot's wife actually had great privileges, spiritual privileges. She was very, very closely associated with Uncle Abraham, that godly man who lived so close to God that the word of God refers to him as a friend of God. She was related to Uncle Abraham through marriage. She married Lot, who was the nephew of Abraham. You see, Abraham, when he left Ur of the Chaldees in Mesopotamia, he brought along with him Lot, because Lot's father, who was Abraham's brother, had already passed away. And it is highly possible that it was during the time when Lot was under the wings of Uncle Abraham that he married this woman, Mrs. Lot. Yes? Now the word of God tells us something very, very great about this man, Abraham. Wherever Abraham went, the first thing he did was to set up altars. He would set up an altar. Now what was it for? The altar was set up for him to worship the one true living God. That was his top priority. Wherever he went, he will make sure that he raised up this altar, and then he will call his entire household to worship with him, to worship the one true living God. And who will be included in the household? Of course, not only Abraham's servants, but particularly Lot, his wife, and if the children had already come, the children would also be part of the household. They will be worshiping the one true living God under the leadership of Uncle Abraham. So you might say that Lot's wife was very, very highly exposed to the worship of the one true living God. She could not miss that. Yes. Now then, Abraham was a living testimony of God's goodness and of God's faithfulness. Lot's wife saw that. She saw how God had blessed Abraham. Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and then he went into the promised land. And when he was in the promised land, God blessed him in a very most marvelous way. And Abraham became a very, very wealthy man. And the wealth that was a blessing from the one true living God was so great that Lot, who was under his wings, also had a share of the blessing. And so in time, Lot also became a very wealthy man. And then both men became so wealthy that the animals that they owned became so many that the land that the animals were grazing on became too small for the animals to graze on. And so disputes arose between Abraham's servant and Lot's servant. But Abraham was not going to stand by and watch the disputes go on and grow into something really very, very bad. So what he did was he took the initiative to settle the disputes. So he called his nephew and said, "Nephew, let us settle this matter." And he took the initiative. And he was very, very magnanimous in the way he dealt with nephew Lot. Very generous and very magnanimous. He told Lot, "Lot, you take the first pick of the land. If you take the lowlands, I go to the highlands. You take the highlands, I go to lowlands. I go to the lowlands." And of course, Lot chose what? He chose the better of the two lands. He chose the fertile land, the lowlands, the fertile land. And of course, he was covetous, greedy, you might say. Now, I can't imagine for a moment that Mrs. Lot had nothing to do with that decision. All right? She might not be the head of the home, but I can tell you this, she surely was the very powerful neck that turned the head. Yes, and must have caused the husband to make that kind of decision. Then, so you see, she saw how magnanimous, how kind, how gracious, and how generous Abraham was. And then she must have also seen how heavenly-minded Abraham was. What I'm trying to tell you is the kind of privileges that she was experiencing. Very much influenced, under the influence of Abraham. And so she saw how heavenly-minded Abraham was. Abraham was one who was very detached from the world. And he demonstrated his detachment by not focusing on any earthly city. His focus was on the heavenly city, which has foundations, whose ruler and whose builder is God, whose ruler and whose maker is God. His interest was to be where God was. And so we read this wonderful account about Abraham. We must read this in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 10. Look at how heavenly-minded Abraham was. Okay, Hebrews 11, 8 to 10. Let me read you these few verses. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. God just told him, "Abraham, come forth. Go forth." And he went. He obeyed. Verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Dwelling in what? In what? In tabernacles, not in houses. In tabernacles, in tents. All right, not in houses. Verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So you see, throughout his sojourning in the promised land, this man did not actually own any piece of real estate. He didn't. And the only piece of real estate that he owned was a piece of land that he bought from the Hittites for the purpose of burying his wife, Sarah. And that piece of land became a cemetery. When Abraham passed away, he was buried in that place. When his son Isaac passed away, he was buried in that place. And later on, Jacob was also buried in that place. So, you see, all throughout his sojourning, this man demonstrated that he was very, very heavenly minded. Yes, he set his affections on things on high. And another thing that this Mrs. Lot must have seen about Abraham was the fact that this man was a man of great faith. And he demonstrated his faith by his obedience to the one true living God. God called him up from Ur of the Chaldees. He obeyed, he ran. Yes, every action of, or practically every action of Abraham was one of faith. And it was demonstrated by his obedience. Then she must have seen how selfless Abraham was. You see, looking at this spiritual, godly man, she must have seen how selfless Abraham was. despite the selfish treatment that he received from his nephew Lot. See, Lot, after choosing that piece of fertile land to dwell in, pitched his tent to face the city of Sodom. In time, he was attracted by the bright lights of the city of Sodom, and then he moved himself and his entire family to dwell in that city. And then in time, Lot became a very prominent citizen in that city. And one day, that city, the city of Sodom, was raided by its enemies, and the enemies took all the dwellers of the city of Sodom captives. Of course, Lot and his family would have been included. Now, when Abraham heard that news that his nephew Lot and his family, including his wife, of course, were taken into captivity by these raiders, what did he do? Did he stand by and watch and say, "Serve you right for what you did to me"? No, he did not do that. He raised an army of 300 soldiers made up of from among his servants, to go after these enemies of Sodom. He defeated them and then delivered Lot and his family safely, and also delivered their possessions. So you see, Mrs. Lot had great privilege of living under very, very godly influence, exerted by this godly man, Abraham. She tasted of God's goodness, tasted of God's faithfulness through Abraham. But sadly, that influence didn't make any impact on her. So sad. Living so close to such a godly man, and that kind of influence didn't make her make any kind of changes in her life. She possibly was not a believer at all. Then what about the husband she married? Now, the husband was worldly, but he was actually a believer also, because the word of God refers to him as a righteous man. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, all right, you don't have to turn to that. Let me read this for you. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For that righteous man," referring to Lot, all right, "that righteous man dwelling among them," dwelling among the dwellers of the city of Sodom, "in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." In other words, when he saw those unlawful deeds around him, he was very vexed. He was very, very tormented. Why? Because he was a righteous man. But friends, in spite of the fact that Mrs. Lot married this believer, her husband's influence didn't make any impact on her. Now, what does the example of Mrs. Lot teach us? What are the lessons we can learn from the example of Mrs. Lot? Simply this, all right, simply this. The spiritual privileges that we have don't guarantee that a person will become spiritual. Yes, they don't guarantee that we will become spiritual if we live under great spiritual influences. No guarantee at all. In fact, living under great spiritual influences do not guarantee that we will be saved. And that is the truth. Now consider ourselves here, living in Australia. We live in a free country, right? We can go to church on Sunday to worship without any problem at all. I can say a lot of things from this pulpit without any problem at all. Yes, Bibles are readily available, and then you can easily download the Bible into your phone today. And Sunday after Sunday, if you are attending this church, you are, I should say, very privileged, because the truth is preached from this pulpit every Lord's Day. And then we have Bible studies in the church. And in this church, we have the read, pray, and grow notes to help you do your quiet time. And then another truth is this. Many of the people here, particularly the young people, come from Christian homes. Yes, you are what we might say, literally soaked in a very Christian kind of atmosphere. Very much like Mrs. Lot was soaking herself under the influence of Uncle Abraham. But friends, the question I want to pose is this. We may have all these privileges, but do we appreciate these privileges that we have, that God has given to us? Or are we like Mrs. Lot? We do not care two hoots about the privileges that have been given to us. Yes, we are totally indifferent to them. Are we in that kind of a position? My dear friends, I trust not. I really trust not. How tragic it is, my dear friends, if after you have been bathed in this very Christian atmosphere, and then are still not saved. How sad. Now you think of this man, Demas. Demas was for many years a fellow laborer of the great apostle Paul. Yes, he traveled with Paul, and he was a fellow laborer of the apostle Paul. Now then came this sad report made by Paul about this man when Paul was at the close of his life. He said this, a very, very sad record. He said, Demas has forsaken me. Why? Because of his love for this world. Yes, he forsook Paul. Now, what does that mean? It also means that he actually forsook the Lord Jesus Christ. He forsook Paul, which means that he forsook the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of his love for the present world. And then you think of this man called Judas. Judas walked 3 years with the Lord. Yes, influenced under the close influence of our Lord. He saw how the Lord performed his miracles, how he healed the sick, the blind, the lame, the blind, the dumb. And then he heard the messages preached by the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard the Sermon on the Mount. And then he saw the Lord Jesus Christ raising people up from the dead. And he himself was possibly vested with the gift to perform miracles also. But then at the end of 3 years, what did he do? He betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. How could that be? But it was so. Even though he had a kind of a very, very special influence, being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear friends, remember Judas, remember Demas, remember Mrs. Lord, yes? Remember the privileges that were given to all of them, but they did not take advantage of the privileges given to them. Then, what about ourselves? Think of the great privileges that have been given to us. My dear friends, have we taken full advantage of the privileges that we have? Do we appreciate them? We must take full advantage of them, and we must fully appreciate them by the grace of God. If we neglect them or we ignore them to our own peril, especially in regards to salvation. If you are not saved, you totally ignore this influence, the privileges that you have. My dear friends, you do so at your own peril. Yes, if you die unrepentant, you are going to head for eternal hell. And that is the truth, my dear friends. Next, let us remember the prayer that was made for this Mrs. Lord. Who prayed for her? Of course, Abraham prayed for her. Abraham must have prayed for Lot and his wife and their family. Now, what would Abraham have done each time when he called his household together to worship the one true living God before the altar that he raised up? Surely the thing that he would do would be to pray for his entire household. And who would be prayed for in particular? Of course, Lot, his own kin, Lot, his wife and their children. He would surely have prayed for them. Then when Lot and his family moved into the city of Sodom, did he forget them? No, he did not. He was even willing to risk his life to go out to rescue them. Now, if he was willing to go out to risk his life to rescue them, would he not be praying for them? My dear friends, he would have been praying for them all the time. Now, when God was about to destroy the city of Sodom, Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord shared this secret with Abraham. He told Abraham that he was going to destroy this wicked city. And what did Abraham do when he knew that God's judgment was going to come down upon Sodom? What did he do? He prayed. He pleaded with the Lord. He said, Lord, if there are 50 righteous persons in the city, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? The Lord said, no, I would not. Then Abraham then dropped the number down to 45. He said, Lord, if there are 45 persons, righteous persons in the city, would you destroy the city? The Lord said, no. Then Abraham dropped down the number to 40, and then to 30, and then to 20, and then to 10. The Lord said, if there were 10 righteous persons in this city, I will not destroy this city. Now the question is, why did Abraham stop at 10? Now he stopped at 10 possibly because he dared believe that there were at least 10 righteous persons in that city. Referring to, of course, Lot's family. Now some commentators believe that Lot's member actually consisted of at least 10 members. All right, they say that would be Lot, Mrs. Lot, and they believe that Lot had 4 daughters, 2 of whom were married. And if 2 of them were married, then they would have 2 sons-in-law, right? So 2 sons-in-law, 4 daughters, 2 sons, and then he himself and wife, there would be 10. So that's why Abraham stopped at 10, so some commentators say. Yes, but this family that was prayed for by this godly patriarch actually was far gone. Yes, they were very, very much very, very much merged with this very, very depraved city, which was notorious for its immorality, particularly the sin of homosexuality. Don't think for a moment that God thinks lightly of homosexuality. Yes, God detests it. Now, I show to you a passage how the Lord detests this sin of homosexuality. You please turn with me to Romans chapter 1, all right? Okay, this is a little digression, but I just want to show you how detestable this sin is to the one true living God. Okay, Romans chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Romans 1, 26 to 28. Let me read to you, and then as I go along, I will try to explain a little bit. Now, Romans 1, 26. For this cause, God gave them up. You see, these words are serious. God gave them up. For this cause, you know, Paul was talking about the Gentiles. They were worshipping idols. Instead of worshipping the one true living God, they actually tried to remove the knowledge of God from their minds. Verse 26 actually tells us this. And verse 28 actually tells us this. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they chose to remove the knowledge of God from their minds. And so because of that, God gave them up unto vile affections. What are these vile affections? God calls them vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. In other words, they committed the sin of homosexuality. Then Romans 1:27. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in the lust one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of that error which was made. In other words, they will receive their due punishment. And Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a mind that is void of judgment, a mind that is totally incapable of repenting. And if people get into that stage, my dear friends, it will be not surprising at all if they were to commit the sins of homosexual sex, right? So you see how detestable the sin of homosexuality is in the sight of the one true living God. Now, we do not know how far gone Mrs. Lot was in embracing the morals of Sodom, but the fact was she looked back at the city of the perishing city of Sodom and was turned into a pillar of salt. Yes, she had a lot of stake in the city of Sodom. She enjoyed the lifestyle there, enjoyed the high society status perhaps in that city. She had possessions in that city, and so she could not bear to part with them. When she was pulled out of the city, after she was pulled out of the city, she looked back and she was turned into a pillar of salt. You know, she was given that privilege of being prayed for by Abraham. She came under the influence of Abraham. But each time, I'm sure, when she was given the truth, offered the truth to believe in, she just shook her head and rejected the truth. Yes, that was why she got into that terrible state that she was in. Friends, how far gone are we from the Lord? Understand this truth, friends. Today, your being here in the worship service is not by chance. Think about it. Not by chance. People have been praying for you. Don't think that you are here by chance. People have been praying for you. Your parents have been praying for you, or your children have been praying for you. Your father could have been praying for you. Mother could have been praying for you. Husband could be praying for you. Wife could be praying for you. Yes, church members have been praying for you. Leaders of the church could have been praying for you. That is why you are here today, not by chance. You are really most privileged because you are enjoying the privilege of being prayed for by someone. The Lord has mercifully ordained some people to pray for you. That's why you are here. Now remember Lot's wife. She was prayed for by this godly man, Abraham. But she did not take full advantage of the privilege given to her. So I ask you, would you not take advantage of this privilege? The privilege of being prayed for by somebody for you. People who love you, they pray for you. So you have been given that privilege. Why do you not want to take advantage of this privilege this morning? If you have not come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ yet, think of this. People are praying for you. They are hoping and praying that you will come to believe in the Lord Jesus. Why do you not want to take advantage of this privilege this morning? Don't be like Mrs. Lot, who was prayed for by her godly uncle Abraham, but didn't take advantage of the privilege given to her. Now, if you are not taking advantage of this privilege of being prayed for you to come to Lord, to come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the question is why? Why are you not doing so? Mrs. Lot didn't take full advantage of the privilege because of her love for the world. She loved the lifestyle of Sodom. Yes, it was a case of her wanting to satisfy the lust of her eyes, her lust of her flesh, and the pride of life. Now, in your case, what is holding you back? If you are not coming to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is holding you back? Is it the world? Yes. Is it the love of the things of the world? Is it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? My dear friends, I think you know the answer. So why allow this to prevent you from coming to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Why don't you take full advantage of this privilege that has been given to you, the privilege of being prayed for by some people? Then, as for us who are saved, let us remember we are saved because God gave us the privilege of being prayed for. And so there was a day when God answered their prayers and we were saved. And then look at Lot's family. Lot's family had the privilege of being prayed for by Abraham. That is why Lot, his wife, and the two daughters of theirs were delivered from the city of Sodom when it was perishing. God answered Abraham's prayer. Now, God answered Abraham's prayer even with regards to Mrs. Lot. Did you realize that? Mrs. Lot didn't perish in that city. She was delivered from that city, but after she left the city, she turned back, she was turned into a pillar of salt. My point is this. I want to impress on you the potency of intercessory prayer. Yes, Abraham prayed for that family. The family was delivered from the city. All right. We have been prayed for by people who loved us, and we came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God answered their prayers. My dear friends, let us understand the power of intercessory prayer. And this power of intercessory prayer is available to us, my dear friends, because the Lord says that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And are we not righteous in the sight of the one true living God? The answer is yes, because we have put on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord looks at us and he sees us as being righteous because we have put on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if indeed we are living a righteous life, God will answer our prayers. So if we pray for others, we pray for their salvation, will not God answer our prayers in accordance to his will? Will he or will he not? If he is pleased to answer our prayers, he will. So let's pray for others. Remember the potency of intercessory prayer. Now for our last point this morning, I'd like us to remember Lot's wife perishing. Let's read the account of the destruction of Sodom. Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 to 17. Genesis 19, 15 to 17. Genesis 19, 15 to 17. Okay, 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. 16. And when he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. They brought him forth and set him outside the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. So the family literally had to be dragged out of the city of Sodom. And what was the angel's instruction? Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, look not behind thee. But look at verse 26. All right, go down to verse 26. All right, let's read that verse together. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. You see, she looked back. That action showed that she disobeyed what the angels said to her. Now, sometimes people disobey because they are defiant. Yes, they simply want to fight back. But in this instance, I believe that Lot's wife disobeyed primarily because she did not believe the words of the angels. Abraham was noted for his belief. Abraham was noted for his faith. And how did he show his faith? He showed his faith by his obedience, of course. So we can say that faith is characterized by obedience. Unbelief is characterized by disobedience, right? Now, in her mind, she must have thought, well, sure, to escape from the fire and brimstone is a very, very necessary thing for us to do. It's a great, great thing for us to do, absolutely necessary for us to do. But what's the big deal with looking back at the perishing city? The big deal was she actually disobeyed the angels. And for her unbelief, she was turned into a pillar of salt. Friends, unbelief is really an exercise of the will. You choose to believe or you choose not to believe. Unbelief is an exercise of the will. The Jews in the days of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this earth, I'm referring particularly to the scribes and the Pharisees, yes, chose not to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was their Messiah. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ performed all those miracles that he performed, they attributed his performance of those miracles to whom? To Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Now the question is, did Mrs. Lot see miracles performed by the angels? Did she see or did she not see? Think a while. Of course she saw. You see, remember the night before they went to bed, the men from the city, from every quarter, young and old, came and banged down the door with the purpose of wanting to rape the two angels. And what did the two angels do to them? He caused them to be blinded. Was that not a miracle? Yes. So she saw that. And then, remember, the angels came and told them, tomorrow this city is going to be destroyed. Actually, up to them, nothing has happened. No sign that anything would happen. But the two angels told them, yes, this city is going to be destroyed. And then true to their prediction, the city was being destroyed. So did she see miracles performed by the angels? Of course she saw. Yet she would not believe the words of the angels. Understand this truth today, that today we are more privileged than people in ancient times. We have more than the words of angels. We have God's written word, the Bible today, the whole Bible today. It tells us of the reality of heaven and of hell. It tells us it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It tells us, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Are these words true or false? Absolutely true, because these are the words of God. So how are we treating God's word? With belief or unbelief? Now, if you choose to treat these words as untrue, with unbelief, the warning is this. Remember Lot's wife. You understand now? Remember Lot's wife. Yes, she was filled with unbelief. Let us not place ourselves in that state, my dear friends. We have heard the word of God. Let us choose to believe rather than choose not to believe. Come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Mrs. Lot had lots of spiritual privileges. She was placed under very, very great and good spiritual influence by the uncle Abraham, who was a close relative, because she and her husband had lived with Uncle Abraham. And then she had a Lot for a husband who was a believer. Yes, and then she was very much prayed for by this godly man, Abraham. Friends, as we remember Lot's wife, think of the many wonderful spiritual privileges the Lord has given to us. Do we value them? Do we thank God for them? Do we thank God for the Christian home that we come from? Do we thank God for the Christian friends that we have? Do we thank God for the many prayers that have been uttered for us by people who loved us? Yes, we have been enjoying the privileges of having prayed for by people who love us and people who care for us. My dear friends, take advantage of these privileges. Yes. Appreciate these privileges. So if you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, take advantage of these privileges. Come and believe in Him. God's word is true. Mrs. Lot disbelieved the words of the angels, and she manifested her unbelief by turning back to look at the perishing city of Sodom, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Friends, do we or do we not believe God's word? If we are believers, thank God for the many wonderful promises that He has given to us. Yes, thank God for the great guidance, the clear guidance given to us in the Word of God for us to live lives that are pleasing unto the one true living God. My dear friends, what do we do with God's Word? Answer, obey His Word so that we will be able to please Him. If we choose to disobey, remember Lot's wife. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, O Lord God, that the example of Lot's wife was cited by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to give us warning concerning the judgment that will come in the end times. Father, we pray that we may all be very, very prepared for that day. And the way for us to prepare is to take heed to the warning that You have given to us. O Lord God, we pray that we may turn to You and enable us to realize the great and wonderful privileges that You have given to us. Indeed, Lord, You have given us the privilege of being nurtured in a church that believes in Your word. You have given us the privilege of being brought up in godly homes. You have given us the privilege of having good spiritual connection with people who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that You help us to take full advantage of these privileges given to us, so that if we are unbelievers, we will come and believe Jesus as Lord and Savior. And those of us who have already believed in Him, we pray, O Lord God, that we may be very thankful that You gave us that grace to take advantage of the privileges given to us. Help us to take note of the warnings You give us in Your word. Teach us to take note of the promises that You have given to us, and to believe Your word, every word of Yours, so that we may be able to live lives that are most pleasing to You. And lest we forget the privileges, and lest we forget the warnings that You have served us from the word of God, enable us to remember these two words. Remember Lot's wife. Amen.